Welcome. I know there are people here who have already been touched by God's power. I know you will not return back the same. In Jesus' precious name. This service today, subject is the necessity of vision. And this is part two. The necessity of vision. Our objective is to understand why it is necessary to function in life and to exist with vision. Proverbs chapter 27 and in verse 3, it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Life is meaningful when vision is available. The visions of today are the realities of tomorrow. Men and women who will matter in life, they matter by vision. People like Abraham, God asked him to lift up his eyes. Paul the apostle lived a life that was driven by vision. This one thing will I do. Our master Jesus lived by vision. Say, "For this sake was the Son of Man manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So he had a purpose, a reason why he came. Why is it necessary to run with vision? There were some points we made in the first service. We said that life without vision is life without meaning. And then that life without vision is life that is left to chance. And then that life without vision is life without bearing. No bearing. And then that life without vision is life left to distraction. And that life without vision is life without discipline. That is the discipline of character. In this service, we shall look at five more. So number one for this service, or number three, or rather number one for this service, or number six overall, is that it's life without vision is life without passion. Life without passion. Write the vision, make it plain that he may run. Vision, not this. First, vision is fuel for passion and enthusiasm in life. Show me a man, show me a woman who will have passion, who will have enthusiasm, who is excited about life. I show you a person who is possessed with vision. He possesses vision, and vision possesses him. Our father in the Lord, Bishop David Oyedepo, will be celebrating 70th birthday this year, next month. And as I thought of his life, I realized that I've seen a lot of 60-year-old people. In fact, I was talking to somebody the other day, and he was talking about how he's getting older, so this and this and that. And he's getting older because he's age 57. And I looked at this man's life, at age 70, he's still planning for things like he is 30. Permanent enthusiasm. Permanent energy. Where there is nothing in front of you, there is no energy to move in life. No energy. Because we said that vision is fuel for passion, is fuel for energy, is fuel for enthusiasm. Second thing to note is the opposite. The absence of vision is the abundance of negativism and pessimism in life. People are negative, negativistic in mentality, and pessimistic. It's not sure that things can work or things can happen where there is no vision. So vision, living with vision is critical if you want to move about like a bundle of energy. Let me tell you, one day I was going to minister in Kogi State, like I will be going this week. Kogi State, it was a university town where the university is. I was meant to go on Tuesday healing and deliverance service, after healing and deliverance service. Schedule had been so loaded. I was so exhausted, literally tired. I knew I needed to rest. Crusade started from Tuesday, Wednesday, and going on. So I spoke to the pastor after healing and deliverance service. I said, you know what? Because I was calculating in my mind the road here to Lokoja to Abaji. Here to Gwagalada to Abaji to Lokoja, Ajokuta. And then the roughness of the road, just thinking. And with this tiredness. Pastor, you know what? Please handle the service today. I will be there tomorrow. I think the pastor who was there then is a pastor in Jalingo now. I will be there tomorrow. I need to catch up on some little rest before tomorrow. You know what he told me? He said, yes, sir. That is what a loyal servant will say. Yes, sir. Even though people have been at the crusade ground since 12 o'clock, all manner of afflicted people. When he mentioned that, people have been on the crusade ground since 12 o'clock. All manner of afflicted people. Tiredness disappeared. Unusual energy arrived. I jumped into the car. I told him I am coming. Something was placed in front of me. Afflicted people. Frustrated people. Who came in expectation that must not go back disappointed. Where the tiredness left, I can't tell. I hit the road, arrived the place fresh and refreshed, ministered at the frequency of thunder, like somebody from another world. Hey! The sick were healed, the afflicted were delivered, the oppressed were set free, sinners were saved, because vision, the goal, gives you energy, gives you enthusiasm, it gives you the gust of excitement. That's what keeps us going. Those who go with us to the crusade ground, they know that it's very, very addictive. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. Hallelujah. Number two, so life without vision is life without passion or drive. Number two, which will become literally number seven now, is life without vision. Is life without impact. Nobody makes impact in life without a vision. The most impactful people on earth are people with vision. Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 14, the Bible said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark for the prize. Two things to note. That vision causes you to possess a goal. And the goal makes you. Vision causes you to possess a goal, and the goal gives you the opportunity to score. There is no score. Nobody scores anything in life without a goal. Where no goal post is, the football match is a desperate waste of effort. You play, 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 you come. When it is time to score, no goal post, you turn. You dribble, dribble, dribble. Want to score, no goal, you turn. You possess a goal and you score where there is a goal. People are not scoring in life because there is no goal. Number two, it takes a target to make your impact. You don't make a mark without a target. You don't make impact without targets. The man of vision is a man that is target specific. For those of you who are in civil service, before you retire, give yourself the next phase of your life should be clear with specific visions and targets. Should be clear. So that you don't retire and then you are wondering what to do with the rest of your life. Vision. Life without vision is life without impact. A young man inherited probably millions from his father's property. And he was found still working at the airport as a ground staff. And someone asked him, you don't have need of money anymore. What are you doing here? He said, he needs to have something to do to keep his life working daily. Because when you no longer have any reason to live, you begin to die. People actually commit suicide when they don't see any reason to be alive anymore. Life without vision is life without impact. Number three, which will be number eight now. Life without vision is life without bearing, headed for disaster. Life without bearing, headed for disaster. What are we saying first? That accidents are inevitable where vision is not available. Accidents are inevitable. All you need is imagine a man attempting to drive who cannot see. Accidents are inevitable where there is no vision. All you need to do is imagine an aircraft flying. There is something they call the weather radar in the aircraft that must work. Because it will show you that this is bad weather in front. Terrible bad weather, don't enter. So by the time it shows them that this is bad weather, they will navigate around it and just move. Or move like this. The worst thing, one of the worst things that can happen to an aircraft is weather radar is not working and you are flying, and you are flying in the night in bad weather. That is suicide. You want to die and kill the people on board. Everything in the aircraft is working, but weather radar is not working. It is packed, especially for night flight. That's how it is. Or an aircraft that is out of control with a control tower. You have no communication. So they can't tell you another aircraft is coming, so come down a bit. Or another aircraft is coming, so fly higher at a higher altitude. I'm sure you've heard before that some aircraft jam in the air. Yes. Hallelujah. That is what attempting to live without vision is all about. That you are living life at random. You jam rock here, you jam this one there. Enter into a business that you have no business with. All the money disappeared. Enter into a relationship with somebody that you should only greet from a distance. Because you don't have a vision for your life. So all roads look like road. Somebody say a loud amen. Accidents are inevitable where vision is not available. Also, the future is never in view where vision is not in place. That is what makes it a disaster. The future is never in view where vision is not in place. This is very, very important. So if you want to avoid accidents of destiny, you want to avoid living life that ends as disaster, you must possess vision. Number 9, I believe. Life without vision is life without motion. When you attempt to move, like we said in number 8, you move into disaster because you can't see. But without vision, life without vision is life without motion. Habakkuk chapter 2 and in verse 2 said, write a vision, make it plain, that he may run that readeth it. Why is that important? First, that vision is the fuel for motion and acceleration. That he may run. Vision fuels motion. Vision fuels acceleration. Vision gives you a drive that he may run. That readeth it. Show me men and women who are fast runners. People that achieve more in one day than most people achieve in a year. People that achieve more in one year than most people achieve in their lifetime. It's a product of vision. Second, you live where you are only when you know where you are going. Nobody leaves the room except an aimless person, of course. So where are you going? Say, just let me just go around. You live where you are only when you know where you are going. You don't live where you are until you know where you are going. And if I may add, you don't live where you are until you know what you are going to do. Jesus himself knew what he would do. John chapter 6 verse 6. So, progress in life, answer to vision. You know what to do, you know where you are going, you know what you want to do. Precisely you know what to do. That is why every time I preach a message, I say objective. So that the objective can guide what my thought and guide my direction. You know, you can hear a 1 hour message and you are wondering, what have I heard? How Abraham led the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. No, sorry, it was not Abraham. It was Moses. More of a disaster than a message. One day a pastor came to our Irawan church, a bishop. He said, I hear you have 6 services. I say yes. He said, so what time do you have per service? I said, like 1 hour 20 minutes, 1 hour 30 minutes per service. He said, how is that possible? That is the time you use for one message. The whole service is 1 hour 30 minutes, 1 hour 20 minutes. What can you say in 1 hour 20 minutes service? Praise, worship, choir, sing, everybody, altar call, everything, and you still have, what can you say? I said, okay, I want you to take the message. Just take the opening prayer till end of service and watch it and listen to it. Message segment within that time, within that 1 hour 30 minutes, is still 30 to 45 minutes. By the time he listened to the message, he said, you said more in 30 minutes than some of us will say in 2 hours. You have said more. You said more in 30, because if you know what you are doing, you can say what you need to say in 5 minutes. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it is very, very important that you have a target, you have vision, you have focus. It will give you speed. All the time, when I preach during Shiloh or one of those programs, one of my close friends will look at me and say, this is 1 week seminar. You just gave us 1 week seminar. That is 5 days preaching in 1 day. Because if I have 40 minutes and I have so much to say, every line is a bomb. Somebody say a loud amen. Very, very important. Life without vision is life without motion. I speak to someone here today, your life is gaining motion and you are moving to the next level. Shout the loudest, amen. Finally, number 5, which is actually number 10, life without vision is life without choice, or life without choices. First thing to note is that vision influences choice. For example, if I am a young man trusting to get married, even though I want to marry, it is not everybody I can marry. True or false? My vision is influencing my choice. Why? I am a rugged evangelist, missionary, pastor. I can be preaching in New York today, and I can be in a rural village where there is no drinkable water tomorrow. And I enjoy such operation that you left Chicago and went to for crusade in Chicago. Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Left Paris to Papi. Do you understand? And here you are, married to a woman who only wants Paris. Only wants Singapore. It's only comfortable in Los Angeles. It's impossible. You are thinking eternity, he's thinking humanity. You are thinking the celestial, she's thinking the terrestrial. You know what I'm saying? And it can be the other way too. You are the woman, passionate for God. This one is passionate for football. Soccer can make him miss Sunday morning service. Madam, you and children be going to church. Arsenal and Chelsea is playing this morning. So by the time you are loaded with vision, when the so-called first intended person is talking, you know this is not wife. This is sister in the Lord. You know, this is not husband, this is brother in the Lord. Brother in church. Am I communicating? There are many people who made the wrong choices because vision did not set their priorities. They didn't have a vision that was able to set for them life's priorities. Give the Lord a praise and take your seat. This is very important. Vision says, I am looking for money, but not all kinds of money. Not money that will take me to hell. Not money that will destroy my conscience. Not money I cannot defend before God. Somebody sent me a text message yesterday, talking about a particular assignment he wants to do. And I said to him, all right, just do what you can defend before God. He said, it is not something bad. I said, no. I'm not saying you should do it or not do it. Just do what you can defend before God. I didn't ask you to do it or not do it. Just ensure that it is defendable before God. You will explain to God why you do it and God will understand. And God said, okay, I understand. Praise the Lord. And so this is what vision does for you. The second part of it is that vision gives the ability to make the right choices. When you are a man of vision or a man of principles, your choices are already made. It gives you the ability to make the right choices. Anywhere we go, we look for souls. I went to preach in a state some time ago. The chief executive of that state sent somebody with a bag of cash to support the crusade, to help, you know, to just be involved. And I told the person, I said, please, I would like you to return it. Just tell him that his gesture is appreciated, but not acceptable. And it's not disrespectful. It's just that this is kingdom program and we are not looking for any money from such quarters to be involved in what we are doing. This person felt so humiliated. I mean, the person who came himself. I said, no. There's no qualms at all. We will do everything we need to do. We're going to pray for the land. We're going to do everything. But we'll not touch a cash from here. What? Not one cc. The man told him later on, he said he has never seen that type before. Because there are people of our sort who have come there and but he hasn't seen this type before. If we will not take offering from crusade ground, whose offering will we take in the place that we went for crusade? Your decisions are already, you are not thinking, okay, to take on. No. It was made before you arrived. Your vision disciplined your choices. Somebody say loud amen. During the construction of this project, somebody sent a check, I think, from their organization, which happened to be a government organization, to support what we are doing. Wrote a letter, and I wrote a letter back. This is not a government project, and does not require one CC from anywhere that has anything to do with government. We are fully appreciative of your concern. Hello? You mean you want in their record that one naira branch here? God forbid. Do you understand what I'm saying? There was no thinking. It was intrinsic automaticity. You see, by virtue of what you have made, this is the mindset. Somebody, a pastor, went to take a loan from a bank, and they asked him, "Who will be your shorty?" He mentioned my name, that I will be his shorty. Wait a minute, the bank says it's not true that I cannot shorty him, because me myself, I will not take loan. That the person who won't take loan will let shorty anybody. That they have approached us before and we refuse to take loan. They denied him there. He was the one who came to tell me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They said, "You cannot answer." He said, "Who are you cooking this meat for?" He said, "He doesn't eat such meat." The person who will not take loan for himself, or for the church, because they came during our Area 1 construction, approaching us to take a loan to finish up the part of the project. And we said no. He said, "That person is the one you say he should shorty you." Do you understand what I'm talking about? So the decisions are already made. And I announce to you today, help and mercy from above, that is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not make the wrong choices the next time. Say the loudest amen. Very, very quickly, please take your seat. What is vision about? What is vision? We had three definitions in the first service, and that is that vision is insight into life's purpose. When you have insight into the purpose of God for your life, it is called vision. Insight into life's purpose. I thought you are pulling them up as fast as you can. Number two, we said that vision is focused on the future while living in the present. You focus on the future, living in the present. You are in the present, but your focus is on the future. You are not allowing the present to tie you down. You are seeing ahead. Thirdly, we say that vision is traveling into the future on the wings of scriptural imagination. Traveling into the future on the wings of scriptural imagination. You travel into the future. This is not what we are dealing with in this service, so that's why I'm rushing. But for the second service, let's define vision again in three ways. First, vision is the picture of life's expected end. Life's expected end. Where you think your life will end, where you know this is how my life will end. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts I think toward you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. It is the picture of life's expected end. Putting that picture in your mind is called vision. Number two, which is now number five overall, vision is looking past immediate situations onto ultimate expectations. You are looking past immediate situations onto ultimate expectations. Looking beyond the immediate to the ultimate. Looking past immediate situations onto ultimate expectations. A woman who had a child and after 9 years, no other child, multiple miscarriages, she decided to place the picture of triplets by her door. She looked at that picture, looking past her immediate situation onto ultimate expectations. What was the outcome? She gave birth to triplets. I'm sure they showed that to us last Sunday. In Genesis, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That was his immediate situation. Despising the shame, that was his immediate situation. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He was looking at the joy set before him, and he despised the cross. It's vision. But you will not allow what is happening around you to weigh you down. You will let what God says and what you are looking at in front, if possible, to weigh you up, to pump you up, to lift you up. Finally, number three, vision is faith pictures of the future. Faith pictures of the future. They are pictures of faith. Faith pictures. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. The Bible said concerning Moses, he persevered, he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. By faith from the word, you paint pictures of the future. Faith pictures of the future. This is where I am going. I'm not here. This is not where I belong. That is where I belong. That is where I belong. That is where I belong. And eventually, you are there. I placed Rehabonki Crusade pictures everywhere. It was both physical, it was mental. Just pictures. At the end of the day, the pictures became the future. Somebody say amen. Did somebody get anything so far? How do you move at discovering vision? Your vision or your purpose for life? What do you do? Number one, it's still the same points. It is discovery at the place of prayer. You go before God asking him, what are you saying for my life? What is your purpose? What is your plan for me? Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Stand in the ways. Thus said the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. Ask for the old path. Where is the good way? Lord, what is your pathway for my life? And you walk therein at the place of prayer. Before I stepped into ministry, I was 3 days before God on the mountains in Jos, where the download of his direction for my life and ministry was given, directing me into this city. My wife was at home praying. Receive the same thing at the place of prayer. Number two, it is discovery from dominant passions of the heart. Dominant passions of the heart. In Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of your life. Dominant passions. There are things you are passionate. See, when I went through the Bible, everywhere I came around power, it did something to me. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 exploded in my heart. Reading the book of Maurice Cerullo, Proof Producers, it defined that passage for me as a medical student. The dominant passion of your heart is connected to your purpose on earth. Number three is discovery from inherent potentials. Your gifting, your endowment is tied to your assignment. Joseph was a dreamer stroke dream interpreter. Genesis chapter 37, verse 5 all the way to verse 9. That was how he grew. And that dreaming and interpretation of dream took him to the palace. He actually interpreted the nightmare of Pharaoh and gave solution to that interpretation. Hallelujah. If you can check your design, you can confirm your destiny. How were you designed? The fish was designed with a gill system so that it is swimming inside water and has the capacity to filter oxygen from the water and move. Man can't do that because it is not designed so. How you are wired determines how you will walk. Somebody say amen. If you look at the aircraft, there is something they call the cargo aircraft. It has no window. It has no chairs inside. Because it was not designed to carry person. It was designed to carry load. If you look at, that's the cargo aircraft. Not before carriage of person. So no window. No many doors. Just pilot and his co-pilot and maybe fly one, fly steward or something. It's not okay. No chair inside. If it carry motor. The back of it, once they bend it, you can drive the car inside. It is designed for its assignment. There is another one that is a jet fighter. That one also is not for carriage of person. It's for wastage of enemy. Look at it there. Its passage is the elimination of people. It's going forward, people are wasted backward. What is meant to be is exhaust pipe, is releasing of fire. It was designed so. So, even among aircrafts, there are different designs. There is the rocket that can go to the moon. That one is different. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So, there are, and then there is the executive flight, the one that is the private jet type. The seating arrangement is different. There are some of it that have bed inside. Some have bathroom inside. It's enough. Don't tantalize people with fruit that cannot be eaten. It amounts to oppression when you are presented with a presentation that you cannot partake of. Hallelujah. You see, all truths are parallel. That is how you are. Your wife. People are trying to fly when they don't have wings. And trying to swim when they don't have gills. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't struggle to be people. Just discover your making. And just show up in your generation. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Say amen at the top of your voice. It is discovery from inherent potentials. Number four, discovery through divine wisdom, inspiration, ideas, knowledge. Divine wisdom, inspiration. God just gave you a breakthrough idea, a wisdom, a knowledge, something. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 26 to 27. As King Solomon made a navy of ships in Ezion Geba, which is beside Eloth, on the shore of the Red Sea, in the land of Edom, and Hiram sent in the navy his servants, shipmen that had knowledge of the sea. With servants of Solomon, they had knowledge of the sea, so they gave them assignment on the sea. You are marketable where you are knowledgeable. You are relevant where you have revelations. Your impact is in your insight. You understand what I'm talking about? To find out. Where do you have light? Where do you have insight? Where do you have revelation? Where do you have wisdom? Inspiration. That area is your impact. Somebody say amen. And we give you glory, Lord, as we honor you. We give you glory, Lord, as we honor you. You are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord. You are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord. Number five is discovery through generational burden. Through the burden of generational need. All of a sudden, a particular problem of society weighs in your heart more than anybody else. It's just weighing you down. It just weighs. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Everybody was normal, but not David. 1 Samuel 17:26. You know, people may think you are too zealous. You are, what's your own? It is normal to everybody. But it is paining you. That is to show that it is a problem you are created to solve. Other people are okay. It's also right. That's how Nigeria is. This is normal. But it makes you restless. It makes you sleepless. It makes you almost want to cry like Nehemiah. Maybe it is a housing problem. Maybe it is a power situation. Because he loved husbandry. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. I knew of a young man. I heard of a young man who liked to dress very well. I think he was in South Africa or something. just like to look very, very good. So he decided to open a fashion shop for men. Exploded in that realm. Because he's not necessarily doing it because he wants money. Good look, he likes good look and wants as many people as possible to look nice and look good. Many times I see somebody wearing a tie that is not straight. I don't need invitation. Old tie that is crooked, I will uncrooked it. There are many things I will do if I wasn't doing what I'm doing now. I'm sure you know one of them. Do you understand what I'm saying now? What you love, what you have a natural love for. It's what you may live doing. Joseph Lee loved making people feel happy. Don't be sad. And that is what he lived doing for the rest of his life. People who like to make people feel happy and host people. Hospitality industry. But I want to warn you, don't say I love food so much. That is yourself. I'm not talking of you loving food so much. Let me open a restaurant. No. It's love, your love of feeding people. And that is the love that will make you make a mark there. Not you yourself loving the food. Because when we were growing up, I remember somebody living where we used to live. They used to call him manager. So manager opened a pepper soup joint. But manager himself loves eating pepper soup. So every time you are passing, manager's mouth is moving. You are just walking back. In the evening, you are walking back. His mouth is still moving. He is selling no, but he is the first party. At the end, manager's shop closed. The shop closed. That was how manager damaged the business and ate up the business. The shop did not continue. Good pepper soup. When you are passing, you just, even when he wants to serve you, you take one. I think he was trying to taste and see that the pepper soup is good. Stand on your feet to the shout of praise. A louder shout of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 I believe that you receive something today. And I want you to follow it up with a 3-minute explosive prayer unto God. Lord, help me not to miss your purpose. We prayed in the first service. To be everything you want me to be, to do, and let me not miss your purpose in life. But before then, lift your voice and your hands and thank the Lord for the word you just received. Thank him for the word you just received. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Be thou glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Lift your hands now and let us pray. But before we pray the prayer, just look at someone and say, congratulations. Something good has happened to you already. Tell them you cannot live a wasted life. In the name of Jesus. All right, lift up your hands and lift your voice and pray the prayer we prayed in the first time. And say, Father, I ask that you cause your plan and your purpose in my life to be fulfilled. I ask that what you brought me into the world to accomplish shall be accomplished. I receive the grace, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Go on ahead, lift your voice and pray. Father, I ask that you cause your plan and your purpose in my life to be fulfilled. I ask that what you brought me into this world to accomplish shall be accomplished to the glory of your name.
I receive the grace, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Pray, pray, pray. What you brought me into the world to achieve shall be achieved. Zero Pray. Let this say, cause your plan and your purpose in my life to be fulfilled. I ask that what you brought me into this world to accomplish shall be accomplished, Lord. I receive that grace, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Mahashadana. Precious name. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Lift your hands and worship him. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. How many of you can celebrate that God has done something great in our lives? So shall it be.